Welcome to the Valleybrook Community Church podcast, and thank you for joining us online today. You're about to hear a message from our current series, Practicing the Way. This series is an 8-session primer on spiritual formation. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me." But what does it mean for us to follow Jesus today? Practicing the Way is an on-ramp to spiritual formation, exploring what it means to follow Jesus and laying the foundation for a life of apprenticeship to him. To watch any of our previous messages or find all listening platforms, we encourage you to visit www.valleybrook.cc/on-demand. Enjoy.
Well, again, I want to thank everybody for their generosity for Operation Christmas Child. I should mention this, too. If you would still like to participate, you can actually go to the website, Operation Christmas Child, and you can pack a digital box that will be sent to children around the world. So I would encourage you to do that if you want to continue to participate. So as I move into this sermon, I just want to think about this. You know, we are all creatures of habit. Most days, we do the same things the same way, just like we did the day before. Some of those things we do unconsciously. Some of those things we do consciously, on purpose. Some of those habits started out as conscious decisions, and now we do them unconsciously. Let me give you an example of what I mean by sharing with you the words of someone who realized that he had started doing something unconsciously, and he didn't like it, and so he consciously created a new pattern. He called that pattern his rule of life, and that's a term that I'll explain after I share the story. So Andy Crouch is a Christian author, and he shared this. He goes, "I discovered I had an unconscious rule of life while I was working on the book, The TechWise Family, and it dawned on me in this book about technology and family life that I had an absolutely ironclad practice. Every single day of walking downstairs when I got up in the morning, and the first thing I did was look at my phone." That's what you do in the morning, right? Look at your phone. And you know, I'd be making my morning tea, but even before the tea was finished, I'd let the glowing rectangle tell me whatever I needed to pay attention to. All the urgencies, all the outrages, all the demands, all the opportunities. And then one day, somehow, I had the presence of mind to think that this cannot possibly be the best way to start my day, particularly as a follower of Jesus, because it would just instantly pump adrenaline into me. So I thought, well, what could I do instead that would be kind of a sufficient counter-discipline to the habit of picking up my phone every day? And I thought, you know what I ought to do is go outside. So he goes on and says, "I decided that every day after making my tea," and he said, "there's one habit I'm not going to give up, and that's tea first." But he said, "I would take my tea outside just for a few moments and just experience whatever the day had for me before I turned to the glowing rectangle." Because the first 2 weeks that I was trying this, every day was a ridiculous spiritual battle. Like, this is not a complicated thing to do, and yet every morning it was like the phone, I could almost sense a voice calling to me from it. "Don't you need to check me? Don't you want to try me?" And I would have to resist and say no and say, "Get behind me. I'm not. I'm going to go outside first." And then 2 weeks in, I heard the voice just like the days before, but something absolutely flipped in my mind. Instead of feeling temptation and allure, all I felt was revulsion and repulsion. Like, why would I invest in my glowing rectangle, the most beautiful first moment of my day, rather than go outside and be a creature in God's creation? And ever since I've done this, it's one of the most spiritually transformative things I've done in my life for probably the last 10 years, he writes. I just step outdoors And whatever the weather is, wherever I am in the world, because sometimes I have to walk down flights and flights of stairs if I'm staying at a hotel or wherever I am. And I just spend that moment being who I really am, which is a very small part of a very large world, rather than what I am when I pick up that glowing rectangle, which is a very large part of a very small world. And he goes, it's been a gift to choose to be who I really am. And that's what our spiritual disciplines are for. That's what a real rule is, to choose to be who I know I am and want to be. Now, I share that message because if you are using the study materials that we offered for this series of messages, you will hear this idea of a rule of life. And it's important for us to understand what it means. It doesn't mean a set of rules to live by, but rather a framework to help us live as followers of Jesus. The idea of a rule of life first developed in Christian monastic communities as a way to live in that community with God. Now, as I began this message, I said that we're all creatures of habit, and we do things a certain way, either consciously or unconsciously. But today I want to talk about embracing a rule of life that Jesus practiced and that he encouraged his followers to also practice. So let me give you a specific definition of what a rule of life is. In the book Practicing the Way, we read that a rule of life is a schedule and a set of practices and relational rhythms that create space for us to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did as we live our lives in alignment with our deepest desires. It's a way of intentionally organizing our lives around what matters most, God. Pastor Rich Philotas said it well. He goes, this rule doesn't mean a list of rules. It's more of a set of practices, relationships, and commitments that is inspired by the Holy Spirit for the sake of our wholeness in Christ. Pastor John Mark Comer gives us this insight into the understanding of what a rule of life means. He says the original Latin word for rule was regula, where we get our English words like regular and regulation, as well as rule and ruler. Because quite literally, regula means a straight piece of wood, like a ruler. Now, there's a debate, he goes on and says, among scholars as to the word regula's origins, but some argue it would be the word used in the ancient Mediterranean part of this world for a trellis in a vineyard, you know, a framework. The word picture of a trellis was used as a metaphor of the vine, and it was used by early Christian teachers who took Jesus' metaphor of the vine to its logical conclusion. Think of a vineyard. For a vine to bear much fruit, what does it need? It needs a trellis, a support structure to lift the vine off the ground toward the light, to give the vine and its fruit room to breathe and to guide its growth in the desired direction. Without a trellis support, the vine would bear a fraction of the fruit it's capable of, and the little that it did bear would be highly vulnerable to disease and damage and predators. We're going to put a couple of pictures on the screen behind me of vineyards. You'll notice that some of those use wood to hold up the vines, the branches of the vines, and some of them use wires. More modern ones do that. If you go to any vineyard, you'll see that because it provides structure for the branches of the vine to grow and to achieve their fruit that they so desire and to thrive in the environment to produce what they're made to. So as you look at those, we'll see that trellis provides a structure for the fruitfulness of it. So a rule of life for us is a lot like a trellis. We need that trellis because of what Jesus calls us to do. I want us to think about one word. It's the word remain. Jesus wants us to remain connected to him. Now, if you have a Bible with you or if you have your Bible on your phone, I want to encourage you to open up to John chapter 15 and read along with me, or you can listen and see the words on the screen behind me. Jesus is speaking This begins in verse 1. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So I don't know if you picked up how many times the word remain was used in those 8 verses, but it was 8 times. Basically one for every verse, although they weren't all used in each verse. That repetition is important. The Greek word that we translate as remain is the word minnow. And minnow means to stay in a given place, state, relation, or expectancy. It means to abide, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand, to tarry. It means to remain connected to the true vine. So if Jesus is the vine and we are the branches, then to remain is to stay in a relationship with him. It means to stay connected to Jesus. And why is it so important to remain connected to the vine? I hope it's obvious regarding the nature of a vineyard. When a branch is cut off and removed from the vine, it dies. But when a branch remains connected to the vine, not only does it stay alive, but it thrives and it bears fruit. So when we remain connected in relationship with Jesus, we also thrive. We also bear fruit. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be challenges in life, but as we seek to stay connected to him, even through the ups and the downs in life, we'll find that he sustains us and that we're able to bear fruit. So what does it look like to thrive through a connected relationship with Jesus? Being in a connected relationship with Jesus means understanding that God loves us and that God has a purpose for each of our lives. Being in a connected relationship with Jesus means knowing we are part of something bigger than just ourselves. Being in a connected relationship with Jesus means we will see how we can be part of God's kingdom using the time we have on earth, the talents that God has placed in each one of us, and the treasures that he's allowed us to have in this lifetime, and to use them all, time, talent, treasure, for his kingdom purposes. Being in a connected relationship with Jesus means we grow and we bear fruit in the things that really matter in life. It means we will thrive and live the life that is truly life. So let's be honest. Let's be brutally honest with ourselves. Any of us can give lip service to being a Christian. We can say we're a Christian because we're not Jewish, because we're not Muslim, because we're not something else. We can say we follow Jesus because we go to church occasionally or because we own a Bible. It's so easy to give lip service to being a Christian. But Jesus isn't looking for lip service. He's looking for life service, a service of a life that knows that we're connected to him and that we desire to live for him. You know, if you did an audit of where you spend your time, where you use your talents, where you invest your treasures, whose kingdom would you be building? Your kingdom or God's kingdom? It's something to reflect on. Now, as I think back to those verses, I bet when you read those verses, If you're like me, one phrase caught your attention more than the others. It's the last part of verse 7, which says, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. You know, sometimes we read that verse and we get excited because we say, yes, I want to be happy, I want to be healthy, I want to be wealthy. But interpreting that verse like that makes it all about us and what we want. And that's not what Jesus meant. We need to understand that he meant that in the context of asking whatever you wish to build God's kingdom and not our own kingdom. When he said, ask whatever you wish and it will be done, that thing that needed to be done would be in alignment with his purposes, not ours. Now, I'm not trying to single anyone out, but because all of us experience the downward gravitational pull to be self-centered, to use our time, our talents, and our treasures for ourselves and the things that we desire in this life. We all feel that pull to take care of our own interest. And of course, we do need to take care of ourselves to a certain extent, but God sent Jesus to this earth so that we would know that he loves us and that he wants us to thrive in his kingdom vision and to have a fruitful life serving him in our lifetimes for his kingdom. So how do we do that? Well, that answer leads back to the idea of the rule of life. Remember, it's like a trellis in a vineyard. A trellis that supports and lifts up the branches so that they can get off the ground and they can grow and be fruitful and thrive. As a trellis, a rule of life provides a pattern for living with God, using spiritual practices that help us grow in our relationship with God through our faith in Jesus and that help us become more like our Savior Jesus and to do as he did. Now, going back to what we just read, where Jesus tells us to remain connected to him, he mentioned two essential practices that we have to bring into our lives, really to employ in our lives to remain connected to Jesus. Now, you may not have caught it when you read verse 7, so I'm going to read it again. Jesus said, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. Jesus wants there to be a relationship with him where he speaks into our lives, which we receive through predominantly his word, but also through the Holy Spirit. And he wants there to be a relationship with him where we respond, where we talk to him, where we ask for whatever we wish. To be in a relationship requires back and forth communication where one receives communication and where one responds with more communication. These two forms of communication are essential practices that we need to remain connected to Jesus. And so I'm going to look at them, and I understand this is not new, but I want us to think about this. The first thing is we have to receive. We have to receive in our relationship with God through our faith in Jesus, and we must do that by reading and listening to the Word of God, to Scripture. The more we read the Bible, the more we know God, and the more we know how he wants us to live as his followers. And in case you're wondering what's the benefit of the practice of reading or listening to Scripture, it's part of how God wants to form us, even transform us, to be fruitful followers and to thrive in this world. So I want us to look at a psalm. It's Psalm 1. I want us to look at the first three verses. I believe this was a psalm that Jesus knew very well. Verse 1, it starts off, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So here's this idea of taking in the Word of God, taking in Scripture, and bearing fruit and thriving. Now, of course, there's a little exaggeration going on here. To meditate day or night is a way of saying focusing on God's word and applying it to our lives on a regular basis, not necessarily 24/7. And the result, though, of hearing God's word and letting it form us and transform us is that we'll bear fruit for God, that we'll thrive in this life. You know, long before the revolution that brought us computers and the internet and smartphones, there was a simple maxim about what kind of information to fill our brains with. That maxim was this: garbage in, garbage out. Some of you probably remember that. It meant that the kind of information that we consume in our lives will influence the way that we think, the way that we speak, the way that we live. In fact, it will influence our values. And that maxim still applies today. The kind of information that we consume will influence the way we think, the way we speak, the way we live, the things that we value. And I've said this many times, the information that we choose to consume is discipling us. In other words, making us disciples of the originator of that information, because it does influence us. And regardless of if the originator of that information is a Christian or not, shouldn't we be allowing more of God's word to come into our minds to transform us and to help us be fully devoted followers of Jesus more than anything else? So the practice of reading or listening to Scripture allows us to hear from God every time we receive. And so I encourage you to do whatever it takes to do that. And, you know, we live in a time and a day and age where if you're not someone who enjoys reading, you don't have to read anymore. You can play Scripture through your phone or through anything else so that you can listen to it and let it have a transformative process on your heart and your soul and your mind. So that's how we receive. But to be in a relationship with anybody, communication has to be both ways. And so we need to respond. And so I'm talking about prayer. Prayer is simply talking to God in the same way that you would talk to anyone else. And because talking to God is so important, when Jesus was asked by his disciples to teach them how to pray, he did. And this is what we read in the Gospel of Luke. Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of the disciples came to him and said, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as Jesus taught his disciples." And Jesus said this: "This is how you should pray. Father, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come now. Give us each day the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And don't lead us into temptation." So you probably recognize that as the Lord's Prayer, or maybe an abbreviated version of it. That's how it reads in the Gospel of Luke. And the Lord's Prayer was Jesus very simply lining out for us what we talk to God about. We talk to God by praising him and worshiping. That's an essential part of doing that. And so Jesus wants to remind us that when we tell God, may his name be holy, we're worshiping as one who is set apart from us, who is holier than us. It's an act of worship. He also points out that our conversations to God do need to be about building his kingdom, helping his kingdom grow. In our conversations with God, we should feel free to ask God to help us in whatever area of our lives we need. And when we recognize that when we talk to God, we're coming before a holy and perfect God, we also need to recognize our own lack of perfection, our own faults, our own sins, and we need to confess that and ask for forgiveness. You know, it's amazing to me, as we see this scripture, that the God of the universe loves us so much that he desires to be in a relationship with us and to hear from us. It's powerful. To remain connected to God, there are practices that Jesus used, and he wanted his followers to use those practices. And the two most essential ones are that we listen to God, let him speak to us. We want to hear from him, and that we speak back to him. But there are other practices that we can also put into our lives that will strengthen us and help us. And if you've been going through the study we've been going through, you've seen some of those practices. And I asked one of our elders, Kevin Smith, to share how he and his family have implemented those practices into their lives. So I'm going to invite you to turn your attention to the screen and listen to Kevin's testimony.
Hello, my name is Kevin, and I'd like to share how my family and I have crafted our rule of life from practicing the way. A few important things to note before I begin. We as a family have been practicing some of these for a bit, and some are brand new. I want to emphasize that as I lay these out, we are not perfect at them. That is why they are called practices. The end goal is not the practice itself, but the Christ-like formation they are forming us into. Also, these are a rule of life, not rules for life. They are guidelines and boundaries to keep us in a healthy habitual rhythm that have been very life-giving for our family. In total, there are 9 practices that can be categorized into 3 time periods: daily, weekly, and monthly or seasonally. So to begin, daily practices include prayer and scripture. With prayer, I like to have at least 4 fixed points in my day. Morning, before a phone screen is ever illuminated. Midday, this is typically in my car during my lunch break at work. Evening prayer, usually with the kiddos as they head off to bed. And finally, a prayer at the end of the day called the Examen, where I reflect on the day that has passed with gratitude and ready myself for the next day to come. Important elements for me are consistently praying the Lord's Prayer, reciting the Apostles' Creed as a safeguard to remembering the gospel, praying for my wife, our marriage, and our children, and praying over the needs of the church. Next is scripture. I love reading scripture, and not for its own sake, but because Jesus is so beautiful and compelling. I want to spend as much time reading God's word to know him better and to shape myself to him. It all depends on the season, but I have used some great resources to daily scripture reading, including the Bible Project's Read the Bible in a Year, and the Daily Office, where you can find daily readings in the Old Testament, Psalms, Epistles, and the Gospels. I have also enjoyed the deeper dive of learning how to read in the original Hebrew and Greek, and I'm always up for an assignment that allows me to put my concordances and my commentaries to good use. Now we move on to the weekly practice of Sabbath, community, and fasting. Sabbath has been the bedrock of our practicing the way journey. It is the day where we rest and reflect with gratitude from the week that has passed and ready ourselves for the week to come. Our Sabbath is observed on Sunday, and it begins with our mantras we recite at our family's breakfast. We rest, we play, we don't work. God loves us. Amen. We gather with our church community and come home to lunch, naps, movies, and hikes. We make all efforts that our phones are put away, all shopping, yard work, housework has been completed the day prior. And the climax of our Sabbath is the dinner, where my wife lights the Jesus candle to remind us that he is the light of the world. We enjoy a good meal. And as the kids have a special dessert, we will pray a generational blessing upon them as they blow out the candle to signify that the Sabbath is complete. Community is centered around the Sunday gathering here at Valley Brook, but it also expands out to our hosting our life group every other Friday night, plus other midweek commitments with a special focus on gathering with the body of Christ. Now for one of the newest practices for me, fasting. To be completely honest, this one is brand new to me, and I'm pretty sure I have not been doing it right. But my vision for it would be to withhold from eating from sundown on Thursday to sundown on Friday. Friday being important as it lines up with the story of Good Friday, fasting as we remembered that Jesus has died for our sins. and to prepare for the feast of Resurrection Sunday to come, our perpetual Easter. Withholding from eating reminds us that we do not live on bread alone, and hunger is a monastic bell to remember to pray. It also symbolically shows standing in solidarity with those whom food is not always readily available. Now to the final time structure and monthly, seasonally, where we have the practices of generosity, witness, solitude, and service. Generosity is centered around the practice of tithing to our church. Witness is to be intentional with having a conversation about Jesus with someone who is not currently a follower. Solitude, a time to be alone in silence, either early in the morning or a hike alone in the woods, free from distractions. Service, being committed to engagement in our local community as a way to bless those we live in close proximity to. So if you are interested in putting together a rule of life, please consider joining a life group if you haven't already, as this is always best done in community. PracticingTheWay.org also has great resources that can help you build one that fits into your schedule and season of life. And now to close, I'd like to recite one of my favorite quotes that has helped me in building a rule of life. It's from the author Dallas Willard, who offered these words of wisdom. The main thing God gets from your life is the person you become. Thank you.
So as Kevin shared that, I recognize that he gave you a whole lot to consider. So in the message this morning, what I wanted you to focus on is the fact that to begin with, as we want to go deeper with him, we want to hear from God. We want to hear from God. We want to let him speak to us. And we do that by listening to his word, by reading it. And we want to talk back to him because that's the essence of a relationship. That's the beginning spot. And then as you grow deeper in your relationship, I want to encourage you to add more practices, not because you are trying to become some type of spiritual superhero, but because you want to build that framework that helps you become a fully devoted follower of Jesus. Now, I want to encourage you as we bring this message to a close to spend a little time in prayer with me. So if you would, bow your heads. Father, as we have heard about these practices, as we have heard about your desire for us to be in a relationship with you, I pray for each one of us that we would lean into listening to you from your word, that we would lean into talking to you about what's going on in our lives and recognizing who you are to us, and that you would help us employ other practices that help us build a strong foundation in remaining connected to you, our true vine. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.